Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Analysis and opinion so honest, it's just a matter of time before they get themselves in trouble. Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Kick, the pause, the 1-2 pitch, swing and a miss, he struck him out. Ball game, Blue Jays, 5-1 over Cleveland, and the Blue Jays have their one game winning streak.
Jerry's so good at that.
Jerry's very good. It's Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. We're still alive.
Yeah.
We still got at least one or two more days here. On Baseball Central, thanks to Josh Donaldson, Edwin Encarnacion, and the rest of the Blue Jays. As hallelujah. You should probably get us another. Gets us at least another week of Bundesliga picks. All right, enough. Jays 5-1 winners.
What a way to kill the mood over there.
Way sorry, Jays 5-1 winners over the. Yeah, people. I'm not negative. I'm not in a bad mood today, by the way. There's a lot of chatter out there on Twitter to that effect.
And you are?
Stifle. I'm in a good mood today.
You're negative?
I'm in a good mood today.
Only one.
My tooth is sore as hell, but other than that, I'm in a good mood.
I told you what I'd do for that. I can take care of that in a hurry.
Buggy whips it.
Yeah, buggy whip would go good right about now.
That never gets old.
I don't know, man. Anyhow. The Jays,
I'm in a good mood.
Get the head out.
Imagine that.
Get the head out.
Get that foot there. Get it singing.
Get it singing. Get the head out. Get the head singing.
That's not
the Jays beat the Cleveland Indians 5-1 yesterday in game four of the ALCS. Game five goes today at 4:00. Marco Estrada's on the mound for the Blue Jays. Jeremy Merritt on the mound for the Cleveland Indians. Oh, sorry. Ryan Merritt.
Never heard of him.
Yeah.
Let's see. So
he's
far,
left-handed.
So far today, I've called them Brian Merritt, Kyle Merritt, Jeremy Merritt. I'm doing that intentionally.
Well, I heard the word around campus is he's going to be a little nervous today.
Well, that's what circumstances would suggest that Ryan Merritt will be nervous today.
Yeah, I don't.
What do you make of that? What do you make of Jose Bautista saying that the guy he's facing in an elimination game?
The only thing I can say, if you're in that locker room and you hear one of your best players say that, put your money where your mouth is. That's what I'm thinking. You want to say it? I mean, I got to be honest, just from afar on the outside looking in, I don't get it.
Would that piss you off?
They're probably a little used to hearing things like that, but it's.
Oh no, I'm talking about if you're the Indians.
The Indians don't care. They're up 3-1 again. You know, you got to think Ryan Merritt is playing. You talk about playing with house money. He goes out today and dominates the Blue Jays. He's going to be a hero in Cleveland. If he doesn't, and the Blue Jays just take you behind the woodshed, well, what's people going to say? Well, he was supposed to get hit like that. He's playing with house money.
He'll be the biggest hero in Cleveland since the guy who put out the fire in the river a couple of years ago. Remember that? The river burnt in Cleveland?
Boy.
The river was on fire, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Oh, that's right. Anywho.
So
you've got a left-handed poo slinger on the mound for the Indians.
Sounds to me like he's a pitcher. He's not, you could... When you're comparing him to Tomlin, I think Tomlin had a little luck with the shadows, but other than that, if you can pitch, no matter which arm you are, it's the 2015 Blue Jays are just being left-handed, not throwing a lefty against them, and those days are over. Mm-hmm. Now it's about, to me, if the Blue Jays, you have an approach, it's got to be up. See the ball up. Don't worry about what pitch it is because you don't know which way the fastball's moving, what he's doing with the breaking ball, how the changeup looks. See it up. If it's above the knees, swing at it. If they have that approach with the talent they have, they'll do all right. If they don't and they start swinging it at balls and taking strikes, we could see Andrew Miller in the sixth inning. And
We got a lot to talk about after yesterday's game. But we also want to talk about the other series, the Dodgers. The Dodgers beat the Cubs 6-0 yesterday. Ned Coletti, senior VP with the Dodgers, is going to join us. Senior advisor, I'm sorry, the president and CEO of the Dodgers, is going to join us in a few minutes.
You really think that's funny, don't you?
Well, you know, I've never been a Cubs fan. I kind of hope they continue losing, or not losing, because they're a pretty good team. But I don't really want them to win the World Series. I want them to never win the World Series, just because I think it's a good thing to have one team that never does something. I called them to win in five. Clearly, I'm going to be wrong in that series. You watched a bit of that game last night. Again, the Dodgers, Rich Hill. I swear to God, I don't know.
He got three different breaking balls. He throws pretty hard, 92, 93, 94, somewhere in that range. He's got seven or eight different arm angles, and he's aggressive in the strike zone. He's not afraid to throw strikes. When you add that to it, and, you know, you play in a big ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a small ballpark he's playing in, so he can miss on the plate and get away with it. And they got confidence. And I said this before, confidence goes a long way in baseball. It's about now they think they can beat the Cubs. They really do. They look like when they were running on the field, we're beating you today.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to come here and beat us. Cubby's got their hands full. And Arrieta didn't look good. I'm going to tell you that right now. He looked like a little gun shy. Well, that's the first time I've seen him look that way, where he just didn't want to, you know, didn't want to, because he's got, he likes to use fastballs in and out.
Mm-hmm.
I know the strike three pitch that was missed on the Grandal before the home run, the strike three pitch by the umpire, that ball basically right down the middle, and then the next pitch was a home run. I just don't think he looked like we're used to seeing him look. Location's a big deal this time of the year.
Well, you know, he had he did not have a great postseason last year. And one of the things Joe Maddon wanted to do this year, and he's a terrific pitcher. I'm not going to call that in question.
Of course he is. Yep.
One of the things Joe Maddon wanted to do this year was, you know, they wanted to try to get him. They wanted to try to get him into the playoffs in a little bit of a different situation. And, you know, you got to keep in mind, this is a Cubs team. They've had the playoff spot wrapped up since, you know, opening day. And, I mean, they've had a lot of time to get their ducks lined up. There is no team. I would argue there. I can't remember a team in the last 15 years that has gone into a postseason with everything lined up the way the Cubs have it lined up.
Yeah, I think Anthony Rizzo not hitting is killing him. Or Anthony Rizzo's hitting 0-91.
Yes.
That's just, I mean, but he's hitting cleanup for them. That's just killing him.
But my point is, if the Cubs can't win this, because they've had everything go their way this year for the most part, and they've had, you know, the kid Baez. I mean, they've had a guy step up, something that every team generally needs in the world. You know, to go to the World Series, you like a guy who's going to step up. Well, he's done that. So they've had everything. They've had everything go there. They added Aroldis Chapman. They've had absolutely everything go their way. There is no team I can remember that had gone into a postseason in better shape than the Cubs, yet they're down 2-1 to the Dodgers. Yeah. It's just remarkable. It's absolutely remarkable.
I don't know if it's remarkable. I think it's, you know, you have a game plan, and I think it's so, we talked about advanced scouting, and we talked about how teams try and attack every certain hitter in a lineup. Regular season, most teams are not good enough to do that consistently. They're just not. It's not good enough to do it. And now in the playoffs, these are the best of the best. This is the four best teams in baseball playing against each other, and they're figuring out. If you can't hit a fastball in, you're not going to get a fastball away. You're going to get a fastball in until you show us you can hit it. And, you know, Anthony Rizzo, to me, when you watch him, he's overswinging, and where he stands on the plate, to me, when you get a fastball in standing that close to the plate, your swing has to be perfect to keep it fair.
Right.
If I hit it hard I'm probably going to pull it foul.
Yeah.
I have to hit that ball so far out in front of the plate to keep, and I have to keep my hands so far inside the baseball to keep it fair that the, I'm surprised a slump like this hadn't happened sooner. But again, it gets back to, you know, now they figured something out. They know if I can elevate the heater, if he pulls it foul, I'm going to start flipping it because he wants to be aggressive. He's struggling. Mm-hmm. It's what you do when you struggle. You're more aggressive. You want to, you know, you want to get a hit your first at bat, and you want to get three your second at bat. You can't, it doesn't happen that way. But he looks, until he gets going, it's going to be tough for the Cubs. Because what do you do? Chris Bryant, you pitch around him. I know he's getting some hits, and what's he hitting? He's hit 333. But, you know, it's, you can pitch around him with the way other guys are hitting.
I'll tell you what else is really hurting this team, and it surprises me because he's such a good postseason player. But I'm looking at Ben Zobrist hitting 100 in the postseason. Ben Zobrist is a pretty clutch player. You know, he's kind of become.
Have you ever watched his swing? The way the all the hand movement he has, and you know, it's a lot of when you stand and you look at a certain guy swing and you go, yeah, that's exactly the way I want to swing if I were a kid. No, you want no part of that because there's a lot of parts to it. And again, I'm gonna just go a little bit further with the advanced scouting. This is, you got every scout you that you like. As at every one of these games that you thought you were going to play a certain team, and they've critiqued every guy to the, you know, 100th millimeter, 1,000th millimeter. They know exactly what you can and can't hit, and now they actually have pitchers that can throw it there.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I'm saying. You're getting the best of the best, and normally you get one good pitch to hit.
Meanwhile, Corey Seager's a pretty good player, isn't he?
Using the whole field.
He's not
afraid to go the other way. Just so happens he's up on the screen here. Mm-hmm. He hits breaking balls very well. You know, normally a young kid like this is a dead red hitter. They love the fastball. They want to get it geared up, and they're not very good with the breaking ball. He hit the breaking ball. He's not afraid to go the other way with the breaking ball, and he knows the strike zone. Those things, when you're that young, man, that's special. When I was a player and I was that young, I didn't. I just looked fastball, and then – people mm-hmm. started throwing a wrinkle in it, and I was in trouble. When you know the strike zone and you know what you can and can't hit, and you can hit a breaking ball, oh, boy. You got the bat speed he does. And it's quiet. You see how quiet is? It's just real short and mm-hmm. quick to the baseball. There's not wasted movement to it. You know, I hate to get back to the Pete Rose theory, but see ball, hit ball kind of thing.
Right.
It's really that simple for him.
Yeah, no. You watch him play, and we've actually got the MLB Network up here right now, so we're watching as we're talking. They just showed his,
RBI
his double,
two out single, yeah,
or two out double.
No, it was a single, and he went to second on the throw
home. On the throw, right?
What would you do without me?
Yeah, I know. He's just, you know, you talked about a swing, and there it is, right there.
Easy.
It's quick. There's no movement.
No.
But the other thing, you watch him at the plate. His expression. Bought it, and nothing changes.
Yeah.
Nothing changes.
It reminds you a little bit of Mike Trout, doesn't it? From the left side.
Yes, he does.
Quiet, goes about his business, not you know, he's not going to yell at nobody. He's going to go out there, get a good pitch to hit. He's going to make some plays. He's going to run the bases well.
And it's funny because you look at him.
He's a perfect Dodger.
He is a perfect Dodger. You look at him, and he doesn't look that strong. But then you see him, there was a shot of him being interviewed the other day, and he was wearing just like a tight shirt. You see him, you go, he's what's there is muscle.
Yeah, I've never shaken his hand, but I bet he's got big, strong hands.
Yeah.
Most hitters like that can handle the breaking ball the way he does. What that big, strong hands means, you can wait till last second and just use your hands. So I'm sure he has really strong hands. And again, knows the strike zone. That's what more impresses me more than anything. Again, when you get to this part of the season, they know what you can and can't hit.
Mm-hmm.
And they're right now, he's their dominant hitter. He's their guy that you don't want to let you know, it's going to beat you, and he's still doing it.
The shortstops in this game right now, and a couple of us were talking to Cal Ripken was on the field yesterday. We're talking about it. The shortstops in this game right now.
Yeah.
You look around, almost everybody has, if not a franchise shortstop, a guy who could be a real good shortstop. It's like, it's become the new sexy position again. You know, for a while it was, and it kind of went away.
And
now it's
a
new sexy position.
Too. The big, tall, you know, they're not short and quick.
No.
And they're big, tall, you know, strong looking, that can cover a lot of ground, got a big time arm, and can hit.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
It is. Let's bring in Ned Colletti. He's senior advisor to the president and CEO of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Good morning, Mr. Colletti.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
So I got to tell you, I am, and I'll admit first and foremost, I don't, you know, I don't see a lot of Dodgers games. They're on the West Coast, obviously, and I get up early, don't see a lot of Dodgers games. But I have seen them in the postseason, and I admit, I knew Corey Seager was good. I had no idea about Justin Turner. I thought the pitching, pitching was good. I knew that. But I have to tell you one thing, Ned. I can't say enough about how impressed I am with Dave Roberts and how he's running this thing right now.
Well, Dave Roberts, I think, is the manager of the year in this league. You know, there's a lot that goes into managing, and when you take over a big market team that's won three straight divisions and has got massive expectations, you really start with a new coaching staff by and large, guys that he kind of knew through the game but didn't know firsthand, and players that he kind of knew from the game and watching from across the dugout in San Diego but really didn't know firsthand. And what he's been able to do, missing Kershaw for 75 days, I think it's been phenomenal. And the way these guys play, they play like he played.
Mm-hmm. You know,
they play all out every day. And I do a lot of TV out here now, and so I see his interviews every day, and I'm around him a lot. He's always got a positive persona to him. And you know it's not that type of sport where you're always going to be positive behind closed doors. And so I think he does his work with the players that he needs to do one-on-one. But when he walks out of that office, everything is great. And yep. He continues to have that mantra.
Yeah, now, this time around, what are you seeing different with Clayton Kershaw? I know he's added that slider, which to me, when you watch him with that 12-6 hook that he's got and then the fastball command, but the little slider, the tight slider that he has, it looked exactly like his fastball. To me, this time around, the playoffs has taken him to the next level. Are you seeing that too?
Well, no doubt that the three pitches being upper echelon type of pitches, because he's got great command of all them, certainly helps him. I think he's learned along the way too. And if you look back, everybody made a big deal about his postseason record prior to really kind of last year, and you know, well deserved, so to speak. But it's kind of interesting because St. Louis was really the team that took it to him. And you go back to the LCS in 13, he made two starts against the Cardinals, lost them both. Then he has a season where he goes 21-3. And then he gets back to the postseason in a division series against the Cardinals, pitches against them both, loses to them both times. So you got bookend losses against the Cardinals, a pair of them, and 21-3 in the middle of it. So some of it may have been St. Louis his approach. Some of it may have been they're very sharp. St. Louis, a very sharp organization. Maybe they picked something up in his delivery, especially out of the stretch with runners, left-handed hitters up. So there's all sorts of different theories to it. That he does have the pitchability that he does with the pitches is certainly some of it. I think it's experience too, and I think there's a lot of different things that have led into it. Plus, I think he has such expectation for himself. I've been around a lot of players in a lot of sports for a lot of years, and his work ethic and his talent and his passion to compete, I may know guys equal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anybody who exceeds it. So there's a lot that goes on with him. But and you make up a good point that there is the pitchability, especially with the little cutter he's got. It's rough. It's rough on especially right-handed hitters.
You know, a lot of us know how good Corey Seager has been all year. I mean, you know, picking him as Rookie of the Year was a pretty easy call. But are you getting the sense, Ned, that maybe this postseason, I don't think the guy's needed a coming out party, but that he's, you know, you look at the Cubs and everybody's been talking about the Cubs since opening day and all the Cubs good young players and everything like that. Do you think Corey Seager is kind of looking at this series as a bit of a personal challenge?
Well, I think he looks at everything as a personal challenge. I don't know many players like him at his age that have had the composure that he's always carried with him on the field, off the field. A few years ago, he made the Futures game,
mm-hmm.
and I called him to give him the heads up that he was going to make the team, and I told him, I said, look, I said, you got a chance to be a tremendous player. Do not let this be the end. This is just the beginning, and when I talked to him, even as a 19-year-old, the conversation was not the typical GM player conversation. Certainly not the typical GM 19-year-old highly touted prospect conversation. And I think he takes everything in a very calm way. He slows the game down. This kid came here going to be the big league shortstop on a team that won three straight divisions, going to hit in the middle of the order and going to play in the middle of the field in front of 45,000 people every night and never miss a beat. So the national recognition is starting to come now because it is the postseason. A little bit maybe as I look at the series out of Toronto and Cleveland, I look at Lindor kind of the same way. People are starting to – maybe they didn't pay attention to him before, but now they're starting to see him come around. I think it's how you measure a lot of players and how their brand and their expectation and their career grows from one coast to another, from one country to another, is in the postseason.
In conversation with Ned Colletti on Baseball Central, you know, the Cubs in the past couple of years when they made those trades for position players, they went after guys. They went after, I think at one point they had four or five shortstops in the organization, guys who were going to be converted from that position. You know, you talked about Seager. We've seen Lindor here. It seems, Ned, that as you look around baseball, every team, every good team has a real good shortstop. Some of them have really good young shortstops. When did this... I mean, I understand we had Ripken, we had, you know, obviously Jeter, Rodriguez. There have always been great shortstops. But are we kind of going back to the point now where this is becoming a real marquee position and our teams kind of drafting that way? You know, looking at guys who play shortstop and thinking, hey, we've talked about how this has become a young man's game. Most of the guys, if you're going to be play shortstop in college or in high school and are good enough to get drafted, you're a phenomenal athlete, let's start going after a lot of shortstops. And if we have to move a guy to another position, I'll take my chance in moving a guy who can play shortstop into the outfield compared to a guy who, I don't know, was a high school first baseman and having to do something with him.
Right. I think that's a great point. And I think when you draft a shortstop, a lot of times they're going to end up being converted to a second baseman because of the arm strength and because of the speed of the game as it gets higher up towards the big leagues. You've also had a ton of international signings that are shortstops. Mm-hmm. I always felt if you could find a shortstop, somebody who at least knew how to play the position, you were getting somebody that could play almost any place else on the field because of the intellect it takes to play the position. It's almost like a musician. They say if you learn how to play the piano, you can play almost any other instrument. It's like the fundamental base of music. Same thing, I think, in shortstop. And I think that when you get a shortstop, you're talking about somebody who's ultra-athletic, who's really one of the captains of your defense, captain on the field along with your catcher. And I think it bodes well to draft those players, sign them internationally, and develop them as far as you can develop them, because there's always going to be a need for that type of player. You're kind of buying at the high, and you're going to be able to trade off or play at the high because of the value of the position. And right now, you're right. There's a lot of really good young shortstops that are in the game, and sometimes that goes through phases. But there's a slew of them. You look at almost every team, and there's somebody of prominence standing at that position.
Yeah, now, whenever I think of the Dodgers, and I have to get your thoughts on this guy, I don't think of Justin Turner. But the more I watch the Dodgers, the more I'm going to have to start thinking about him. He just seems like, you know, not the most athletic guy. He's not going to make the spectacular play all the time, but he looks very smart to me. He goes up and hunts a certain pitch. He gets it. He doesn't miss it. He plays the right position, meaning he stands in the right spot where the ground ball that he gets is that much easier to catch. Tell me what kind of player and what kind of person Justin Turner is.
He was I'm really proud of what he's been able to accomplish. He grew up in Long Beach, played at Cal State Fullerton. Great baseball, great school and great baseball tradition there. I think he went to Baltimore early and then was with the Mets. And I signed him 3 years ago. I had had great utility guys. I had Jerry Hairston and Skip Schumacher, Nick Punto, Michael Young for a couple months near the end of his career, and I wanted to get a little bit younger. And we always liked Justin's ability to hit. We weren't necessarily enamored with the defense, but we knew that the kid could hit. We knew that he was a local kid who understood what it meant to be a Dodger. And when we signed him, we waited and waited it out during the wintertime. Actually signed him to a minor league contract. And then he said, a minor league contract, you know, I got to get a big league deal. I said, are you healthy enough to play? He said, absolutely. I said, you're going to make the team. I said, you got to be you got to break down almost physically not to make this team. We handpicked the guys. You're handpicked. And little by little, he has really become a great player. He studies hard. He works hard. I think his diligence in the off season has been heightened far more than it was early in his career. As guys get older and they mature and they understand what it takes to be not just good, but great, bordering on great, some guys take that path. Some players don't, but I think he really dedicated himself in the off season to staying healthy, getting stronger, being more aware of his surroundings, both defensively, because he's become a really good third baseman. In this league, if we don't have Arenado at Colorado, who's tremendous, this guy would end up winning a Gold Glove. He's that good on a daily basis. We had no idea he could do that, but he's worked his way into doing that. And a lot of players get made, I believe, during the off season. That is when they can, when everybody else is taking a vacation, where they can work and become better at their craft when somebody else isn't. And years ago, as Jeff, you remember, and you too, Mark, that guys used to go to winter ball all the time.
Right.
And I can remember in the 80s and the 90s, a lot of domestic players from Canada, from the U.S., would go down to the DR, Venezuela, Mexico, and kind of refine their craft. And suddenly, when they came back, they were better players. I think Justin Turner obviously hasn't gone to winter ball, but he has refined his craft in the offseason and taken it serious. He's also started to develop into one of the rarest traits in the game for me, and that's leadership. It is so hard to find great leaders in the sport today. And he has become one of the main guys on that club. Chase Utley's been terrific. And Chase Utley, I think, has helped bring a lot of lieutenants like Justin Turner up another notch. But this guy's not only got power, not only hits in the middle of the lineup, not only plays really, really good defense and smart, but he's become somebody that is a leader inside that room.
Ned, it was great to talk to you again, my friend. Thanks so much.
You're welcome, guys. Thanks for having me on today. Always love Canada, love Toronto.
Take nice. Care. It's Ned Colletti.
It's great stuff.
Yeah, long time GM Dodgers.
Yeah,
Giants. He's now a senior advisor to the president and CEO of the Dodgers. Big hockey fan, as a matter of fact. He is a former sports writer. Big hockey fan. He's a buddy of Brian Burke's. They have a thing every year where they get together, where Brian Burke and the baseball people they'll come out to, I guess Brian Burke's in Calgary now, so they'll go up to Calgary, sit in the box,
Watch
the game. And you know, I was thinking. Doing. We're gonna return our focus to the Jays and Indians on the other side. But you know, one of the other things that happened last night that was kind of cool, Yasiel Puig went 2-for-2. And one of the things that I think has been kind of an interesting story, and it sort of mirrors what happened in the Stanley Cup playoffs last year when the Tampa Bay Lightning kind of they had a kid, Jonathan Drouin, who they got into contractual impasse with him, and he ended up balking at being sent to the minors. It was basically a strike, is what it was. But he ended up coming back having great playoffs, and now he's considered to be an important part of the future. And I wonder if maybe one of the things we haven't seen Dave Roberts do here very, very quietly is kind of repatriate Yasiel Puig a bit. Now, if that can happen, because Yasiel Puig has turned into a real issue for that team, if all of a sudden he's healthy and productive, you know, I'm looking at a lineup, and Chase Utley's an old guy, but you're looking at Seager, you're looking at him, you're looking at Jock Peterson.
Okay, the one guy that you didn't mention that, you know, there's not a whole lot of people that I would buy a ticket to go watch hit, Adrian Gonzalez. He's the one guy to me for the Dodgers that's quietly been that guy that'll pull you to the side, grab you by the jersey, and I've seen him do that to Puig before in the dugout, and basically say, that's how we're going to do it here.
Yeah.
Look for it. This, go up and try it this way. This will work. It works for me. I think you have to have sometimes sometimes it's that quiet guy. This is a level that, you know, not everybody can be Josh Donaldson.
Yeah.
Not everybody can be that loud, you know, leading that way kind of leadership. It has to be a little bit of quietly pulling a guy to a side and going, hey, how about we try it this way? This might work. Adrian Gonzalez is that for me. And I'd buy a ticket to go watch him play, which, I wouldn't buy a whole lot of tickets. I'm just telling you.
You liked a lot of what you saw out of Edwin. You liked a lot of approaches last night.
Well, you lambasted Eddie yesterday, so yeah, I'm going to.
You liked what you saw at Eddie, didn't you? We're going to talk about that when you come back.
It's not to like.
Give us some more details. It's Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Jim and Sid. So funny, you might pee a little. Luckily, you can listen on the can. Subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, welcome back to Baseball Central for Wednesday, October 19th. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker.
Did you just gargle coffee?
No, that's water from my tooth.
Oh. There. It's in a coffee cup. That's what I asked. It's a good question.
Yeah. Speaking of questions, you know what these are right here?
Free tickets.
It's two tickets to see the Jays and the Indians today. Game 5 of the ALCS at 4 o'clock. And if you're going down to the game today, a couple of things. One, get there as early as you can. The security lineups were long yesterday. Don't give the security people crap. This is a Major League Baseball initiative. And there's always security at the Rogers Center. Anyhow, metal detectors, yada, yada, et cetera, et cetera. So be patient. Be good with the people. Get there early. Get into the ballpark in time to see the game, because there were some lengthy lineups yesterday. So I've got a pair of tickets for Game 5 at 4 p.m. We need a trivia question.
Give us one about you.
No.
Yes.
Jeff Blair trivia?
Yeah. Why not?
Okay, Jeff Blair trivia.
Give us something we don't all know.
I have written for 4 newspapers. All right.
Okay.
Winnipeg Free Press.
10-4.
Calgary Herald.
Sure.
Montreal Gazette.
All right.
And Globe and Mail.
Uh-huh.
Which of those 4 did I like the best? The 4th caller through with the call at 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Is that the smell of a bridge burning? I do believe it is. The 4th, what did I say? 4th caller through? 5th caller through at 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Which knows that answer? Of the 4 newspapers I worked at, which one did I like the best?
Still time to change the 5th question. 5th caller through. Like.
Not changing the question. Jeff Blair trivia. At stake, 2 tickets. 2 tickets to Game 5 of the
Travis
ALCS.
Travis doesn't like that question.
I'll give you the answer off air. I want to talk about Edwin Encarnacion and his approach yesterday. Because you came in, you were all fired up today when you came in. You said, I got to talk about Eddie's approach.
You called him out
yesterday.
You said he's awful.
All right.
Is that
all
what
right.
you said?
I did not say he's awful.
You said he wasn't. You said he was the worst hitter in baseball yesterday.
No.
And I have to take up for him.
No.
But no, here's what I think. It is, there's certain guys in baseball that can change their approach when they have to change it. Meaning, I talked about that advanced scouting and how guys are trying to get people out. And everybody in baseball knows that Kluber likes to go away to right-handers. That he just does. That's how he gets them out. He'll show in on occasion. But to actually go up and buy into it and say, okay, I'm selling out going that way. I'm going to hit the ball to up the middle or the other way no matter what. Tip your hat to him. I got to be honest with you, that's the first time I've ever seen him do that. And I'll give him credit for this too. After the intentional walk to Josh Donaldson, he goes up and I think it's 1-0, and then he gets the hanging breaking ball that he tries to undress himself because he wants to hit the grand slam. That's what big league hitters do. They hit a lot of home runs. They got one pitch to do it on. Well, the next time you see his next swing, he gets a fastball out over the plate, and then he hits that base hit up the middle. That's called an approach. And we always come on here and say, well, why don't people change their approach, and why don't they do that, and can they do it? And I got to be honest with you, I've had my doubts about can they do it. To a man, can they do it? It's going to be interesting to see if they can do it 2 days in a row. But for a guy of Eddie's stature to go up and know what a really good pitcher is trying to do to them. Now, Kluber didn't have his best breaking ball yesterday. He was a lot more fastballs than he was breaking balls, probably because of the only pitching on 3 days rest. But to do that and to sell out every at bat, it's impressive. that's one of the most impressive games. And I know he's hit a lot of home runs and he's done a lot of other things. And, you know, he's hit walk-off home runs when it's mattered. But to watch a guy go up and do that, and you could tell he's selling out. I'm selling out because if I don't, we're not winning these games. I have to do this to help our team win. It's very impressive.
Did and you, like me, you didn't have any problem with the approach or with the decision to intentionally walk Donaldson.
Yeah, no, you have no choice there.
Yeah, you know, because people are making, and Josh was asked about this, you know, what was your reaction? He said, well, I wasn't even thinking of it when I went up to play. I mean, if I'm Terry Francona, I'm basically playing for a force and, you know, maybe I get the double play.
Yeah.
That's what I'm playing for. I thought it was completely defensible, completely sound decision. Hey, never mind that Josh Donaldson's been on every pitch for the most part.
I'm going to tell
series.
You this right now. If you are a Blue Jays fan and you don't want Edwin walking up with the bases loaded when it matters with less than two outs, you're crazy.
No, but I think people were second guessing the decision to intentionally to load the bases. I'm saying Cleveland people.
Oh, hey.
We're saying, but Donaldson is
basically what Francona did. Basically, he's saying, pick your poison. I got a better chance of getting Eddie to roll over a ground ball here and get either the best case scenario is get a double play or get the force out.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you take your chances with two really good hitters and you pick which one you want to go after. And at the time, he thought that. Now, hey, all of a sudden, they're second-guessing Francona? Come on. I mean, let's go. Up until about, 18 seconds ago, you were saying he's the greatest manager that ever managed in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So how's he any different now that he's walked a guy when – that's what
I'm just saying. They're,
that's weird, right? How quickly it will change when
– yeah. No, I had no problem with that. I would have done the same.
If you're a Blue Jays fan, you hope he does that again today.
All right, let's talk about kind of an interesting suggestion today. And I admit, I didn't think this when I got up this morning. But, you know, the possibility of Ezekiel Carrera leading off today against Ryan Merritt. People have raised that. You know, first of all, John Gibbons is already, let's see, he doesn't like to change his lineup. So far, he's flipped Tulo and Martin. He's moved Batista up in the order. He's moved Ezekiel Carrera up in the order. I understand Ezekiel Carrera's had a real good postseason. He is a useful player. I mean, we've talked about him in this show. I love what he's been able to do. Kevin, you were a guy who was a bench player. You know what it's like to try to maintain your swing when you're not playing every day, all that good stuff.
Yep.
But, folks, and a couple of people threw this out on Twitter, you got to lead off with Jose Bautista after you've just won a game. You've finally won a game 5-1. You've finally strung some hits together against these guys, and now you want to change the lineup.
Yeah, where did Ezekiel Carrera hit yesterday? Seventh?
Seventh.
Okay, when Ezekiel Carrera, from what I've noticed, him hitting seventh and him leading off, is he gets a lot less breaking balls hitting seventh than he does leading off.
Why?
And the reason why that is, you have to get him out leading off. You don't want him on first base with the big boys coming up. So what do? You go right after his weakness. The bottom of the order, you know, I can give up a single and still get Pilar and Goins out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's when you're leading off and you're hitting in front of all these big boys and I have to get you out, and how you get Ezekiel Carrera out is with breaking balls. He don't like the breaking ball. And the leadoff spot, he gets a bunch of them. That's, to me, the biggest difference. And how do you keep flip-flopping Batista? I mean, after what he said about the starting pitcher today, you're going to need him to do something, right? And I would think going to him today and going, hey, I've just moved you back to the cleanup spot is, I don't know, can you rock the boat too much? What's that song? Rock the boat, baby.
The Hughes Corporation.
Don't tip the boat over.
Rock the boat.
Rock the boat.
Something like that.
I wish somebody would play that song for us.
But that's
certain somebody.
You got that
listening.
Song? Some, Eric, certain, you got the song Rock the Boat by the Hughes Corporation?
Rock the boat, baby. Don't tip the boat over. I don't know. Hey, again, obviously Gibby never listens to this show because he does.
He
never does anything whatsoever that I've ever said. And so
he sent me.
We could show up today and Batista's hitting ninth.
He sent me a text yesterday and said, tell Barker to get the marbles out of his mouth.
Hey,
he did.
Well, it takes one to know one, those marbles, Gibby.
Aaron Sanchez yesterday goes over the 200 inning threshold this year. It flies over the 200 inning threshold this year. Again, a lot of, the Jays, they've got elimination games the rest of the series.
Mm-hmm.
But should this thing go seven, do you start Aaron Sanchez in game seven, or is Aaron Sanchez kind of in your bullpen?
I'm going to say I think it'd be all hands on deck. I'm not real sure he's going to start. It depends on who you feel more comfortable with.
You don't want to lose Stroman.
So it's whoever's more comfortable starting and whoever's more comfortable coming out of the pen. I would think game seven, it's all hands on deck. I mean, game seven is to go to the World Series.
Right.
Who cares if he starts or he comes out of the pen? It's whichever you think which guy can give you the best at that time. Do you think Stroman can get you to the sixth or seventh inning? Then that's who would start for me. That's where a manager and a president and a GM is going to make their money, is making that decision.
Mm-hmm.
Do I let the player make it? Probably not, because you're going to have both guys saying, "I'll do whatever you say." Well, of course he wants to start. But, I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer to that. I'm just thinking, it depends the next couple of days on how the back end of your bullpen's doing. That would, what Brett Cecil gives you, because last night Brett Cecil looked, better late than never kind of thing.
Is that the best fastball you've seen him have?
That's the best hook I've seen, too. They were feeding off each other.
I'm going to rephrase.
He had a pretty good changeup, too. He flipped that changeup in there on occasion. Don't forget that pitch.
He had outings last year where his fastball was really good.
The changeup makes the fastball look harder. So I'm going to say, because of that reason, yes, his fastball looked better.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's... I think all those things come into play. I don't really care who starts. I think that's – I don't know. You got to be real careful. But I would think that seventh game, that's going to the World Series in game seven. Mm-hmm. That's different.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's
– it's all hands on deck, buddy. You could see anybody pitching. And who cares when they pitch? It's just all about – which guy do you think can give you the most out of the pen? Would it be Stroman or would it be Sanchez?
Sanchez has done it before, so.
And he could do it one pitch. That's the heater with 97. And I don't want Stroman coming out throwing one pitch in the pen. So maybe that's my answer.
I want to congratulate Kaylee Mills in Vineland, Ontario, who answered the Jeff Blair trivia question. I didn't even know I had Jeff. I didn't know there was Jeff Blair trivia. But there is, apparently.
Huh.
Winnipeg Free Press, Calgary Herald, Montreal Gazette, Globe and Mail. Which paper did I like working at the best? The answer was the Winnipeg Free Press. So, Kaylee Mills in Vineland, Ontario. Hey, you never forget your first. Give me a break. You never forget your first. Kaylee Mills in Vineland, Ontario. Congratulations. You're going to see today's game. Game 5 of the ALCS, 4 o'clock at the Rogers Centre. Couple of things. Get there early. Get there early so you don't get embroiled in those security lines. And two, as I said yesterday, whatever you may think about the guys, keep in mind, you may not have many more chances to see Jose Bautista Edwin in a uniform. So give these guys
interesting stat before you
a
go.
Proper reception.
After yesterday, Blue Jays have now won 21 straight playoff games when scoring 5-plus runs dating back to 1992.
So there you go.
Score 5 runs. You're probably going to win.
And that'll do it. What happens today, Barker?
See the ball up. They see the ball up, keep the same approach. They're going to get some hanging breaking balls to start undressing some baseballs. If they do that, they'll get it back to Cleveland.
We'll be back here tomorrow talking about Game 6 coming up.
If they win today,
yep.
It's different. It's different now.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
For Ned Coletti and Kevin Barker, I'm Jeff Blair. Thanks for joining us in Baseball Central. Don't forget, 4 o'clock, first pitch. If you get into the game, get there as early as you can to avoid security lines. Be good to Eddie and Jose, and have a great day, everybody.
Rock the